Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8 Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls for this session. I'm merely opening it up tonight. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of about 77, and it was about a high of 81 today and a very beautiful day. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. Do we have anyone celebrating their birthday, anniversary, anything special that they'd like to report this week? If so, come aboard. All right, hearing no birthdays, no anniversaries, nothing special. This is the Thursday informational net open forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. I do want to advise you, if you've connected tonight and you've spoke, you will be part of that recording, and it will be a future presentation on our website as a podcast. And like I said, all stations participating will be part of that recording. Our subject tonight is amateur radio history and its future. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to KY6V to begin the program. Hope everyone has questions and checks in and, you know, ask questions of those guest speakers. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, KY6D, from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. Good evening, one and all. Gordon here, KY6V. And tonight, you know, I'm presenting, or we're presenting, one of my favorite subjects, and that being amateur radio. I'm currently in my 76th year of hamming, having been licensed in 1949. And I've lived through a good portion of what we're going to be talking about tonight. I've seen the cycle change to a hertz, the vacuum tube changing to a transistor, analog communication changing to digital, and it's all been a delight to behold. So without further ado, let's get this thing on the road and get started. David, are you set? GW8SZL from KY6V.
KY6V from GW8SZL. I most certainly am there, Gordon. And yeah, we're an hour early here in the UK at the moment. It's not midnight, so I can say good evening. We currently got 51 Foxtrot 10.4 Charlie here at 2304 local time. Okay, so without further ado, we will start the program off this evening. Okay, the history of amateur radio dates from the dawn of radio communications, with published instructions for building simple wireless sets appearing at the beginning of the 20th century. Throughout its history, amateur radio enthusiasts have made significant contributions to science, engineering, industry, and social services. Research by amateur radio operators has founded new industries, built economies, empowered nations, and saved lives in times of emergency. Now, amateur radio came into being after radio waves, proved to exist by Heinrich Rudolf Hertz in 1888, were adapted into a communication system in the 1890s by the Italian inventor Guglielmo Marconi. Now, in the late 19th century, there had been amateur wire telegraphers setting up their own interconnected telegraphic systems. Now, following Marconi's success, many people began experimenting with this new form of wireless telegraphy. Information on Hertzian wave-based wireless telegraphy systems, the name radio would not come into common use until several years later. It was very sketchy, with magazines such as the November 1901 issue of Amateur Work showing how to build a simple system based on Hertz's early experiments. Magazines show a continued progress by amateurs, including a 1904 story on two Boston, Massachusetts 8th graders constructing a transmitter and receiver with a range of about 8 miles, and a 1906 story about two Rhode Island teenagers building a wireless station in a chicken coop, of all things. In the US, the first commercially produced wireless telegraphy transmitter receiver systems became available to experimenters and amateurs in 1905. Now, in 1908, students at Columbia University formed the Wireless Telegraph Club of Columbia University, now the Columbia University Amateur Radio Club. Now, this is the earliest recorded information of an amateur radio club, collegiate or otherwise. In 1910, the amateurs of Australia formed, now known as the Wireless Institute of Australia. The rapid expansion and even mania for amateur radio, with many thousands of transmitters set up by 1910, led to a widespread problem of inadvertent and even malicious radio interference with commercial and military radio systems. Now, some of the problems came from amateurs using crude spark transmitters that spread signals across a wide part of the radio spectrum. In 1912, after the RMS Titanic sank, the United States Congress passed the Radio Act of 1912, which restricted private stations to wavelengths of 200 meters or shorter at 1500 kilohertz or higher. Now, these shortwave frequencies were generally considered useless at the time, and the number of radio hobbyists in the U.S. is estimated to have dropped by as much as 88%. Other countries followed suit, and by 1913, the International Convention for the Safety of Life at Sea was convened and produced a treaty requiring shipboard radio stations to be staffed 24 hours a day. The Radio Act of 1912 also marked the beginning of U.S. federal licensing of amateur radio operators and stations. The origin of the term ham as a synonym for an amateur radio operator was apparently a taunt by professional telegraphers. Now I'm going to move on to World War One. By 1917, World War One had put a stop to amateur radio. In the United States, Congress ordered all amateur radio operators to cease operation and even dismantle their equipment. These restrictions were lifted after World War One ended, and the amateur radio service restarted on October the 1st, 1919. Now, between the wars, in 1921, a challenge was issued by American hams to their counterparts in the United Kingdom to receive radio contacts from across the Atlantic. Soon, many American stations were beginning to be heard in the UK, shortly followed by a UK amateur being heard in the US in December 1922. Now, November 27, 1923 marked the first transatlantic two-way contact between American amateur Fred Schnell and French amateur Leon Deloy. Shortly after, the first two-way contact between the UK and USA was in December 1923 between London and West Hartford in Connecticut. In the following months, 17 American and 13 European amateur stations were communicating. Within the next year, communications between North and South America, South America and New Zealand, North America and New Zealand, and London and New Zealand were being made. These international amateur contacts helped prompt the first International Radio Telegraph Conference, which was held in Washington, D.C., USA, in 1927 to 1928. At the conference, Standard international amateur radio bands of 80 and 75 meters, 40, 20, and 10 meters, and radio call sign prefix were established by treaty. In 1933, Robert Moore, Whiskey 6, Delta Echo India, begins single sideband voice experiments on 75 meters lower sideband. And by 1934, there were several ham stations on the air using single sideband. So now we're going to move along to World War II. Now, during the German occupation of Poland, priest Father Maximilian Kolbe, his call sign Sierra Papa 3 Romeo November, was arrested by the Germans. The Germans believed his amateur radio activities were somehow involved in espionage, and he was transferred to Auschwitz on May 28, 1941. After some of the prisoners escaped in 1941, the Germans ordered that 10 prisoners be killed in retribution. Now, Father Kolbe was martyred when he volunteered to take the place of one of the condemned men. And on October the 10th, 1982, he was canonized by Pope John Paul II as Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Apostle of Consecration to Mary, and declared a martyr of charity. He is actually considered the patron saint of amateur radio operators. Okay, this is GW8SNL. That concludes the first section of tonight's program. So is there anybody who'd like to check in, got any comments or questions before I pass it on to the next narrator? This is GW8SNL. Please call now.
Dosey. Oscar, how are you doing?
Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee, Robert in Sydney.
Whiskey Juliet 9 Echo, Mike in Indiana.
Okay, this is GW8SNL. I've got Rudy over there in Scarborough in Ontario. That's Victor Echo 3 Oscar Uniform Alpha. Robert from down there in Kellyville Ridge near, well, just on the outskirts of Sydney. That's Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee. And Mike Whiskey, Juliet 9 Echo from Indiana. Before I go to the top of the list, is there anybody else who'd like to be added? Okay, hearing nobody else at this time. Let's go over to Rudy. How are things with you there, Rudy? Long time no speak, but I've heard you on a little bit there. Victor Echo 3 Oscar Uniform Alpha, GW8SNL.
Well, David,
I haven't
heard you for a while. As your voice has said, I better talk to this guy. I hope you're doing okay, and everyone's okay. Oh, my sincere best for your son. He's a smart dude, that guy is. I don't tell him how smart as he was. This is the 30UA. Tell him someone. He's laughing at me. Anyway, no lot of traffic, buddy. All the best to you. And good to hear you, buddy. All the best.
Yeah, Victor Echo, Free Oscar, Uniform Alpha from GW8SNL. You've got absolutely fantastic signal there on this occasion there, Rudy, as well. Absolutely brilliant. So I'm not sure what you're actually using. I know sometimes it's a bit difficult to copy you, but that's not your fault. But I don't know, you might be coming directly in on Echolink via the CN Tower repeater, or you might be right close to it. I don't know, because stations really close to the repeater seem to have better signals. Yeah, Declan is he's upstairs. He's getting ready to go to sleep. It's 23:15 local time here. And he's got school in the morning. And thanks for checking in there. Rudy, do you have anything further before I move along? V3OUA, GW8SZL.
Well, one thing I can say is I've learned that I have to hear Peter first and talk to me after 10 seconds or something. And also remember to, when I stop your talking, I better keep it heat up for a little bit longer so they can copy the whole thing. Take care, David. All the best, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Heavy E3OUA from GW8SNL. Okay there, Rudy, great to hear from you, and we'll talk again very, very soon, no doubt. That's a definite, that is for sure. Okay, thanks for popping in and letting us know that you were out there, and as I say, you have a great rest of your evening there over in Scarborough. Okay, I'm going to clear with Victor Echo 3, Oscar Uniform Alpha. That's Rudy, and now we're going down to, well, it's probably a lot warmer than it is here. down to Robert down there in Sydney. Victor Kilo 2 Delta Yankee, the mic is yours, Robert. Go right ahead.
GW8SNL, this is Robert, VK2GY, indeed in Kelly's little ridge in the city of Blacktown, northwestern Sydney, where it is only actually about 22 degrees Celsius. Yesterday, it was already close to 30 at this time, but it's raining. There's a big rain, major rain system coming across in the next 45 minutes to an hour. So then it's supposed to clear up a bit, but we're only supposed to get up into the upper 20s. So it is what it is. I note that the autumnal equinox was in 8 o'clock last night, which is about 14 hours ago. So we're past the autumnal equinox. Anyway, other than that, I also note that the first communication between the United Kingdom and and Australia was back in September of 1918, and it was received here in Australia in a suburb called Warunga, and apparently contact in the UK was in Wales, and so back in 2018 we had a big celebration of the first contact. There was this historical radio society, and there was the Hornsby and District Amateur Radio Society, which is what I belong to, and a number of different clubs, and all got together, and the mayor, and I think even the premier of New South Wales was there. So it's quite a big celebration. Anyway, that was back then in 2018, and I thought it was a really nice event. Thanks again for taking my check-in. VK2DY, back to net.
VK2DY from GW8SLL. Yeah, that's a nice celebration there, Robert. Yeah, and going back and he's saying, stations or events of 2 meters or shorter was like useless. How wrong they were at the time. Okay, there, Robert. You take care. And we are actually in spring. I think all the seasons are actually merging into one over here. Give it another 10 years and, you know, there won't be no distinct seasons whatsoever. That's my prediction anyway. We'll have to wait and see. That's if I'm around long enough to experience it there. Hi. Do you have anything further there, Robert, before I move along? VK2DY from GW8SZL.
GW8SZL, VK2DY. Well, that's about it. Thank you for taking my check-in. Thank you for the interesting talk, VK2DY.
Yeah, okay there, Robert. Stay tuned for even more interesting information that will be coming up for the rest of the program there as well. I know you'll be listening. Okay, 73D, Robert, you take care, and I will talk to you soon. I'm going to clear with VK2DY, and I'll be going to Mike over there in Indiana. That's Whiskey Juliet 9 Echo. Go ahead there, Mike.
Thank you, sir, for picking me up. I've been doing some tweaking this scene into my computer microphone. I got a Yeti Blue, which stands about a foot tall, and I download some, I got on YouTube looking around, and this one guy's downloaded this Logitech, which Logitech is a big manufacturer of mouses, keyboards, webcams, and the whole nine yards, but I downloaded their software, messed around with the with some of their software. They got like Broadcast and Crisp and something else and FM and Classic, and there's all kinds of different sounds and stuff. You can have the EQ work in just the bass or the mids or the highs, and I didn't know if I tweaked it like he said he done his, so I hope it sounds all right. I might sound terrible, it's hard telling. Hi. But yeah, I live in Rush County, Indiana. have been for 48 years, and I'm a big outdoorsman. I like to hunt and fish and all that kind of stuff. So, which actually we're getting ready for turkey hunt coming up in April and May. So that's going to be pretty fun. That's when I get my crossbow out and use it, or I can use a shotgun, either one. But been a hand for almost 16 years now. I know it's not a heck of a long time, but for me it seems like a lifetime. But at least I don't have to renew my license until 2032, so I'm good until then. And my XYL, she's a ham also. We're both extras. K9JAL is her call sign. She's at work right now. She's not here, but or I would put her on. So there's all that in a nutshell there. Sorry I didn't catch your name, sir. I like to address the people by their name, but maybe you can give it to me on the over there. So Whiskey Juliet 9 Echo, back to you.
Yeah, Whiskey Juliet 9 Echo from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. No problems at all there, Mike. I've just been having a little look down on your QRZ page as well. I like the animations, especially the Homer Simpson one. And I'll look it on your XYL being licensed as well. My name is Dave, Delta Alpha Victor Echo. And my QTH is Newport in South Wales in the UK. Newport is spelled November Echo Whiskey. Papa, Oscar, Romeo, Tango. We're right on the South Wales coast. And if you want to try and find it on a map, just look for Cardiff. And we're about 12 miles northeast of Cardiff, just along the coast there, Mike. And thanks for popping in and let us know you're out there. And I'll note it on how long you've been a radio ham. I got licensed when I was 14, and I'm now, how old am I now? 63. So it feels like a lifetime there, Mike. I've had have my ticket. So, okay, do you have anything further there before I pass it on to the next narrator? Whiskey Juliet 9 Echo, GW8SZL.
Oh, Whiskey Juliet 9 Echo. Thanks there, Dave, for having me. And I think this is the first time I've ever checked in on this, so I will definitely be back. I had to put it on my roster when it comes on and everything, which was at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So, yeah, we haven't met Monday through Saturday on the Dew Drop Band Conference, starting at 7:30 a.m. Eastern time. And goes until 10 a.m. Eastern time. You can get it on the Dew Drop Band conference server, or you can get in by All-Star by node number 50241. And after that net is the Friendly Bunch net, or I think a Worldwide Friendly Bunch or something. They start at 10 o'clock and last till a little after 11 a.m. So we would love to have everybody join us. Monday through Saturday is the Calabunga Net. That's the one that starts at 7:30. And then the Worldwide Friendship Net starts at 10 a.m. And that's Monday through Sunday. So that's about all I got for my information there. Whiskey Julia 9 Echo. Everybody have a great weekend coming up, and 7-3.
WJ9E from GW8SRL. Yeah, thanks for that information there, Mike. And, I forgot to comment. Your audio is absolutely fantastic. The audio level is spot on as well. So don't touch anything. You've set it up absolutely perfectly. So thanks for checking in, and we'll look forward to talking to you again very, very soon indeed. Okay, with that said, I'll say 7-3 to Mike over there in Indiana. That's Whiskey Juliet 9 Echo and his good lady wife there as well. And W4RFJ from GW8SRL, are you ready to continue with the rest of the program there, yeah, Chief? W4RFJ, GW8SZL.
ZW8SZL. And the Thursday Information Net, I'm ready to go, and Without further ado, do you have anything for the net before I get started?
W4RSJ from 2W8SRL. Nothing from me at this time there, Chief. Enjoy the rest of the TA, and I will be listening. You never know, I might even ask an odd question or two. Hi. W4RSJ, 2W8SRL.
Okay, Dave, fine business. This is W4RFJ. We're in the mid-60s here near Rainbow Springs, Florida, and I am one of the narrators for the Thursday Information Net. Again, during World War II, as it had done during the First World War, the United States Congress suspended all amateur radio operations, with most of the American amateur radio operators in the armed forces at this time. The U.S. government created the War Emergency Radio Service, which would remain active through 1945. After the war, the amateur radio service began operating again, with many hams converting war surplus radios, such as the ARC-5, to amateur use. In 1947, the uppermost 300 kilohertz segment of the world allocation of the 10-meter band, that was from 29.7 megahertz to 30 megahertz, was taken away from amateur radio. In 1961, the first orbital amateur radio satellite was launched. Oscar One would be the first of a series of amateur radio satellites created throughout the world. During the 1950s, hams helped pioneer the use of single sideband modulation for HF voice communication. In ham radio, enthusiasts were instrumental in keeping U.S. Navy personnel stationed in Antarctica in contact with loved ones back home during the International Geophysical Year during the late 1950s. U.S. Navy Chief Petty Officer Adrie Garrett uses a ham radio at Williams Air Operating Facility during the 1956 winter. Ham radio was the only means of voice communication with friends and family back in the U.S. for Navy personnel living and working in Antarctica in the days before satellite telephone technology became common. At the 1979 World Administrative Radio Conference in Geneva, Switzerland, three new amateur radio bands were established, 30 meters, 17 meters, and 12 meters. Today, these three bands are often referred to as the WARC or Whiskey Alpha Romeo Charlie bands by hams. During the Falkland War in 1982, Argentine forces seized control of the phones and radio network on the islands and had cut off communications with London. Scottish amateur radio operator Les Hamilton, Gulf Mike 3, India Tango November, was able to relay crucial information from fellow hams, Bob McLeod, and Tony Pole Evans on the islands to British military intelligence in London, including the details of troop deployment, bombing raids, radar bases, and military activities. During 1999 NATO bombing of Yugoslavia, Yugoslav amateur radio operators exchanged information from posts in public shelters. However, owing to an informal code of conduct, radio hams usually avoid controversial subjects and political discussions. Major contributions to communications in the fields of automated message systems and packet radio were made by amateur radio operators throughout the 1980s. These computer-controlled systems were used for the first time to distribute communications during and after disasters. American entry-level novice and technician class licensees were granted CW and single sideband segments on the 10-meter band in 1987. The frequency ranges allocated to them were still known today throughout much of the world as the novice subbands, even though it is no longer possible to obtain a novice class license in the U.S. Further advances in digital communications occurred in the 1990s as amateurs used the power of personal computers and sound cards to introduce such modes as PSK31 and began to incorporate digital signal processing and software-defined radio into their activities. Getting into the 21st century, for many years, amateur radio operators were required by international agreement to demonstrate Morse code proficiency in order to use frequencies below 30 megahertz. In 2003, the World Radio Communication Conference, WRC, met in Geneva, Switzerland, and voted to allow member countries of the International Telecommunication Union to eliminate Morse code testing if they so wished. On December 15, 2006, United States Federal Communications Commission issued a report and order eliminating all Morse code testing requirements for all American amateur radio license applications, which took effect February 23, 2007. The relaxing of Morse code tests has also occurred in most other countries, resulting in boosting in the number of radio amateurs worldwide. While there is no longer a requirement for hams to learn the code, in quotation marks, it remains a popular communications mode. Most of Europe allows licensed operators from other countries to obtain permits to transmit in Europe during visits. Residential permits are available in many countries globally, whereby a valid license from one country will be honored by other countries under international treaties. As of late 2024, only North Korea was an absolute ban on amateur radio operation within its borders. Amateur radio emergency communications assisted in disaster relief activities for events such as the September 11 attacks in 2001, Hurricane Katrina in 2005, and the Sichuan earthquake in 2008. In 2017, the Red Cross requested 50 amateur radio operators be dispatched to Puerto Rico to provide communication service in the wake of Hurricane Maria. All right, it's time for more check-ins. This is W4RFJ. Anybody got any questions concerning what we've covered or anything to add, please come now with your call sign phonetically, please. Okay, I'm not hearing anybody. Kilo Echo 5, Alpha Lima Fox, are you by any chance there?
Chief, I don't see him on the roster unless he's hiding under somebody else's umbrella.
Okay, do we have a substitute for his part? Over.
No, we've got one or two choices here. Either you or Dave can take his portion, or we'll skip it and go directly to Dave in Wisconsin. Over.
Okay, well, I guess I can take it unless Dave is overwhelmingly wanting to take it. Dave, SZL, what do you say?
W4RFJ from GW8SZL. I can pick it up if you want, Chief.
Well, yeah, I like hearing your voice better than hearing mine, so if you don't mind taking it, I'll pass it over to you. This is W4RFJ passing on to Dave, GW8SZL. Take her away, Dave.
Okay, no problems at all there, Chief. Okay, this is GW8SZL, Dave in Newport, South Wales, coming back for this next section of the program. Okay, at this point of the program, we will be moving on to looking at the future of our hobby and what it may have in store. Now, the following quotes are from respected people from our hobby and industry. The quotes are taken directly from a QRZ publication published at https://www.qrz.com/node/1715128380. Now the first quote is from Roy Hook, Whiskey 8, Romeo Echo Hotel, who's a voice director of the Great Lakes Division of the ARL, and this is what he had to say. My hope is that we find a way to preserve the ARS as a playground for talented scientific minds attempting to better the world. They become a reality? Much balance and cooperation, so missing in general society, will be required. I remain optimistic because our Ham community is extraordinary, with an abundance of talent and intelligence not found in the general population. By balance, I mean that we must embrace the resources and brilliant minds our hobby attracts, and not allow any speciality to drone out new and vibrant passions, just because they are unfamiliar to our ingrained hobby traditions. Some redefinitions of the hobby will emerge. In 10 years, we may be defined by yet undiscovered technologies. However, traditional radio sport, community service, contesting, DX, and CW will all remain important, demonstrating value to the highly sought-after spectrum we occupy. Still, high-value scientific endeavors will need to get new and significant recognition if we are to hold on to our amateur radio services and those important parts of the spectrum we are privileged with. This is GW8-STL. Continuing, the second quote is from Michelle Thompson, Whiskey 5, November Yankee Victor, the Chief Executive Officer of the Open Research Institute, and she has this to say. The fact is that this is the very best time for amateur radio in our entire history. It's never been cheaper, faster, or better. Open source software allows a modestly priced SDR, that's a software-defined radio, to do literally almost anything. With a couple of clicks, one can get an ADS-B receiver, that's for receiving telemetry from aircraft, or a spectrum analyzer, or a DVB-S2 transmitter, all for free. So we should be seeing a huge uptake of interest and activity in amateur radio, like we do with software development and coding. The decline of interest in hardware versus software is a big topic right now at universities, as they are seeing far few people studying digital hardware design. The decline is largely explained by big increases in those studying how to write apps and who want to be a software developer. Now, this is understandable because software design has been lucrative as a career, and being a developer is generally admired. But the way I see it, decreasing numbers of people studying electronics and hardware design will only worsen the existing shortage of FPGA, chips, and board-level designers in 10 years. I believe this underlying trend may have something to do with the stagnant growth in hardware-related hobbies like ours. We have seen an approximately 20% decline in the percentage of women licensees in the US over the past 10 years, from 15% to 11%. There's been no rebound after COVID, so that 10-year timeline you ask about will very likely be a future with fewer and fewer women in the amateur radio services. Overall growth has been stagnant, so this isn't a case where the decline matches an overall trend. Hams are aging, becoming more male and much more likely to be white than the general population. Okay, that's Greg's section there. Any check-ins, comments or questions before I pass it on to the next narrator? This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima, Dave in Newport, South Wales in the UK. If you'd like to check in, comments or questions, please call now.
Romeo Foxtrot Juliet.
Okay, I've got you there, Chief. W4RFJ, is there anybody else? Okay, hearing nobody else, W4RFJ. GW8SNL, go ahead, Chief.
Okay, this is W4RFJ. Give me just a minute. Charlotte's ordering our dinner. Anyway, this part of the TIN had me a little intrigued. I had just seen some news footage talking about some of the male and female young people that are more apt to get into technology, especially at the college level. And they have made comments about women wanting to or moving toward getting more involved with technology than they had in the past. And my thought is, maybe if we get more women involved with technology training, that you know, especially in college, that we'll get some interest and get the opposite sex involved. There's a group here local to me that is I think they're about 10 to 15 members that are all female, and they all get together pretty much every Saturday, and they have their nets during the week, and Charlotte is even participating in those as a net control. So literally, it's just making them feel like they belong. Well, that's my comment, and I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Maybe next time, if the alien life form doesn't show up, I'll take his spot. Anyway, thanks, Dave, for picking her up. This is W4RFJ. Back to you, sir.
W4RFJ from 2W8SFL. Okay there, Chief, and they are all noted on that. We're trying to... we've got that technology type gap and problem over here in the UK, and as you know, I do teach in schools. To fill the gap before, normally get around about 10, you know, 10, 11-year-olds, before they move on to the next secondary school, we call them, over here in the UK. We have seen that, I've got personal experience of that myself. So, it is a major problem, and COVID also caused a major problem along the schools line over here. I'm sure it did in the US as well. So, it's a problem, and how are we going to solve it over the years? I've got no idea, and nobody else seems to have. You know, they're going to try everything that we possibly can. But, a lot of software stuff going on as well. And I can't imagine what the amateur radio is going to be like in 10 years' time. I know I hear a lot of stations who took a sabbatical from ham radio, like for 10 years, 20 years, even 30 years, and they come back, and everything's different. There's DMR, there's D-Star. You can just, a lot of them are here calling through local repeater. That's internet linked, and you can talk to somebody over in the States, Australia. And how is this happening? You know, this is a local 2-meter repeater. Some new licensed hams think there's an almighty lift on. And the older ones, as I say, coming back after taking a break, they just don't know and asking, well, how is this possible? Anyway, do you have anything further there, Chief, before I pass it on to the next narrator there? From GW8SZL.
Well, the only thing I'd like to add is I believe most of what I was hearing about is programs here in the state of Florida. I don't know if it's happening in other states, but here in the state of Florida, they do have programs that are bringing technology to not just the females, but the males. They're finding that both males and females are getting involved with the opportunities. But the numbers of females outweigh the number of males. Anyway, best of 7-3, and back to you to pass it on. W4RFJ.
W4RFJ from GW8SL. Okay, the Chief, and no problems with filling in for Greg there. I can do that at any time, especially now because our clocks haven't gone forward yet, so we're an hour earlier. Hi. Okay, thanks there, Chief, for your comments. This is GW8SNL, so I'm now looking for David. That's Kilo Bravo 9, Echo Whiskey Golf. And if you'd like to pick up the next part of the program there, David, just go right ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, Dave. You were talking about a lot of these groups and everything have, you know, gotten together and built networks and everything else. But quick comment before I move on to my segment. There is a repeater group here in Wisconsin called FM38 that has been connecting a number of repeaters to All-Star. And right now they got the FM38 system pretty much covers almost the entire state of Wisconsin and even parts of Illinois. So pretty nice little system going here connected to All-Star. But thank you for your segment and picking up Greg's. I'll pick it up from there. Let me just give a quick reset. KB9EWG. Okay, moving on to the program here. Sean Lynch, Kilo 6, Bravo Echo Bravo, developer of Ham Live and founder and CEO of MetaCloud, acquired by Cisco. Looking ahead, I'm really excited about how AI is set to revolutionize the amateur radio, especially in the realm of operators' economics, with enhancements in AI particularly in signal separation and natural language processing. We're going to see a major shift in how we handle communications as GPUs become more to see commoditized there or affordable. I anticipate transceivers from the big three will soon come equipped with real-time onboard AI-centric computational power, take dynamic noise reduction. Today's AI-enhanced tools like RM noise work dynamic noise reduction to work wonders in cutting through the static, despite some drawbacks like latency and needing internet access. Imagine soon having this tech seamlessly integrated right into our rigs, operating in real time without the external dependencies. And then there's natural language processing. If we are already processing the local audio streams, why not push that further to visually display and automatically log call signs? We're communicating with maybe a list of everyone heard over X minutes of our net. It's not too far-fetched to think that soon our regular SSB operations could offer clarity and feature of digital modes without needing any functional changes. Without meeting any fundamental changes to the protocols or external hardware or software. The bottom line, AI is not just a buzzword, it's the next frontier in ham radio, making our favorite hobby more accessible, efficient, and frankly, a lot more fun. Not to mention the aforementioned will be a massive differentiator for whichever vendor ships first. For Steve Hicks and 5 Alpha Charlie, CTO of Flex Radio, predicting the future of different business, one of these stories that we hear time and time again from amateur radio operators is that they first became interested in amateur radio in their teenage years, only to spend much of their middle years of life raising a family and working on a career. Later in life, they return to find a hobby that is both different in many ways and yet the same. Oftentimes, those individuals fondly remember a piece of equipment or a capability that they could ill afford in those prior years, purchasing equipment or trying out that mode or capability becomes a passion for this reason. That equipment, trying out the mode or capability, becomes passion for this reason. I expect that a fair amount of ham radio will look at, as it does today, embrace nostalgic modes, capabilities, and equipment for the enjoyment of the operator. We can't predict the future, which has much clarity as you might, for example. With cell phones, when you think about cellular phones, the market is broad and there are multiple companies working to bring everything you can imagine that is technology possible to the palm of your hand as quickly as possible. But in amateur radio, we rely on you D, and innovators like Joel Taylor for these breakthroughs. When you ask about the future, you may want to know where the bleeding edge of the technology will be. But what capability, equipment, antenna, and et cetera, will you bring to the hobby? That will spur new revolution. Without experimenters and innovators, the ham radio of 10 years hence will look a lot like it does today. Let me reset here. We always have more ideas about what we can be done that can actually be implemented. The reality is that companies like ours have more ideas than they can ever bring to the market. The hard part is not the idea, it is the implementation. Since we are working on new technologies today that will be released to the ham radio in the near future, we have a pretty good idea about some of the innovations you'll see in a decade. It's going to sound like a cop-out, but to discuss our vision of the future would reveal these innovative projects, and that could compromise our ability to pay for innovations in the future. It's safe to say that though amateur radio will continue to be fun and exciting throughout the next 10 years, so will all that, so all this said, let's hear your thoughts. And our email is voip@scarsvoip.com. It's Victor Oscar India Papa at Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra, Victor Oscar India Papa.com, voip@scars.com. We're about to close the program for the evening. Are there any further check-ins or comments or questions for this net? This is KB9EWG. Is that somebody trying to check into the ham conference? All right, I'll try one more time. Is there any comments, questions, or anything else for the net before we secure the net? This is KB9EWG.
Victor Echo 3SIZ in now.
Victor Echo 3, your suffix kind of got dropped in the noise there. Go ahead.
It's Victor Echo 3SIZ. I'm in Toronto, Canada. I just like to find out about this net. I'm on a local repeater of mine.
Well, this particular net this evening is the Thursday Information Net. This net takes place on the third Thursday of every month. Although sometimes we do take one time or another off. But typically it's on the third Thursday of each month there at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here in the U.S. It's a net with several presenters and different topics every month there, so you can find out information about that net or other nets there. We also have nets on the weekend. We got a Saturday net in the morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time there. We got noon Eastern Time, and then it's 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We got, that's the AM connection, the SSIN, and that's also the Evening Raichu. There's also Evening Raichu on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. And you can find all about our net center information at our website, scarswipe.com. I sell Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra, Victor Oscar India Papa. That's scarswipe.com. Anything else for you?
Yeah, I really appreciate the explanation on all about the net, and you have a wonderful evening. Bye from Toronto, Canada, BE3SIZ, Claire and William.
Well, BE3SIZ, thank you for your check-in and your comments here. Please check out the website. Get all the information you want. And if you're not a member, you can even join our group here and participate in our nets there. This net is also being recorded this evening for a podcast, which will be on the website there. So So you can, if you miss anything there, excuse me, if you miss anything, you can pick it up on the podcast there as well. 73-KB9EWG, net control. Any other comments or questions or anything else before I secure the net? This is KB9EWG.
AG7IK.
AG7IK. Hey, Jerry, how are you doing this evening? Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys doing this. I caught the back end of it this time, which is better than missing it entirely. And I just want to give myself, give you all a shout out and let you know I was here. AG7IK73.
Well, you can always pick up what you missed on the podcast, which I'm sure Gordon will have up on, online sometime tomorrow. And Gordon, if you just FYI, I did record the entire net there. If you needed a backup there, it's available as well. So Jerry, thank you for your check-in and 73. Anybody else want to check in or comment for a security net? This is KB9EWG.
Whiskey Juliet 9 Echo.
Whiskey Juliet 9 Echo, go ahead.
I just want to say I really enjoyed listening to the net. This is my first time on here, and it was quite interesting, quite interesting. So good job, and keep up the good work, guys. This sounds like it really gives a good information net about amateur radio. So I will let some of my friends know up here in Indiana about it and other places, and maybe get more people in here, and which you probably get quite a few, I imagine, but I guess more the merrier. But I really enjoyed myself there. My name's Mike, and I'm in Rush County, Indiana, and I'm jealous of you guys down there in Florida because it's only 36 degrees here. Hi. But thanks for having the net. Whiskey Juliet 9 Echo. Back to you, sir.
Well, Mike, welcome to you there. Thank you for joining us this evening. Please check out our website. That's scarsvoip.com, scarsvoip.com. There's information on all of our nets, net control stations, podcasts, and a good bunch of other good information on there, so please check that out. And maybe if you wish to join our group, you'd be welcome to. We do give a free number. Mine is Echo2289. And you can get email weekly on updates on our on what our nets are for that week there. So thanks for tuning in there, Mike. Good to hear from you. Anything further from you? Whiskey Juliet 9 Echo.
No, sir. I think that'd be it. I just wanted to let everybody know me and messed up earlier about our nets up in the all over the place, but do drop in server on Echolink at 7:30 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time till 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We have a net called the Calabunga Net. It's a really good net. We make up topics, and everybody puts in their, you know, 2 cents in worth and all that. So it's really a fun net, and you can actually get it on Echolink at the new drop-in conference server, or if you got All-Star, the All-Star number is 50241, and that's out of Newfoundland, Canada. You can access that, and then at 10 a.m. until a little after 11 a.m., is Worldwide Friendship Net, and it's a really good net. A lot of people check into that. So just a little bit of FYI of Echolink there. WJ9E, I'll be clear. Stand by.
Well, thank you, Mike. And as I said, please check out our website. You'll find lots of good information on there. Thank you for your check-in, 73. I see Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha, put their call sign in the chat box. Were you wanting to check in? Was there anybody else wishing to check into the TIN before I secure the net? This is KB9EWG. Okay, hearing nobody else, go ahead and secure the net then. This has been SCARS, VOIP. That's SCARS, VOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on our website, that is scarsvoip.com. That's scarsvoip.com. Your net control station for this section has been David, KV9EWG, CN73, closing this VOIP session. Thank you all for your participation. This program is now closed, being the server has returned to normal amateur use. This is KV9EWG 73.